This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Kushan Avidar. The 2024 Women's NCAA Basketball Tournament now has a Final Four after two high-profile games last night that completed the Elite Eight. Let me tell you, it was a big one. Caitlin Clark and Iowa defeated LSU, and UConn upset USC. Two huge games. So now we look ahead to this Friday. South Carolina, undefeated, number one seed, takes on third seed NC State, the Wolfpack, and Iowa will take on UConn, vying for a spot in that championship game on Sunday. Everyone, this has been a year for college basketball. It's kind of hard to overstate this. The women's tournament feels especially spectacular and star-studded. Players like Caitlin Clark at Iowa, Juju Watkins at USC, Paige Beckers from UConn, and Angel Reese at LSU, they're dropping big numbers and showing out for their teams. And hey, even if South Carolina is the deserved favorite, it really feels like any team can win. And here's something special. With us now to recap the madness so far and preview the Final Four, which is taking place this Friday night on ESPN, we've got Carolyn Peck. She's a Hall of Fame coach who won the tournament in 1999, and now she's an ESPN analyst and commentator who's covering the women's tournament. Carolyn, hi, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And listeners, we want to hear from you too. Have you been watching this year's NCAA women's basketball tournament? What have been your impressions? Any favorite moments or upsets? Call or text us now. The number is 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. You can also hit us up on social. Our handle is at all of it WNYC. We're on Instagram. We're on X. Do you have a favorite team you're rooting for? Favorite player? Have you found yourself tuning in to watch Caitlin Clark or South Carolina? Give us a call, 212-433-9692. Okay, so Carolyn, got to ask, was basketball playing on every TV in your house last night?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I didn't want to leave the room and miss anything. So, yeah, it was two great basketball games last night.
Let's start with last night's action, LSU and Iowa. It's the matchup everyone had been looking forward to, which, interestingly for listeners, it was a rematch of last year's final. Iowa won last night thanks to a 41-point and 12-assist night from star Caitlin Clark. But LSU fought hard and the game was close. Angel Reese was great. How did Iowa get the edge last night, do you think?
I think Iowa had balanced scoring. Yeah, Caitlin Clark got 41, but the contribution she got from Kate Martin, her 21 points, and then Sydney Afalter, who has stepped in the absence of Molly Davis, who got hurt the last game of the regular season, she has filled in spectacularly. And so having her ability to make shots and the conditioning of Iowa has been so impressive of how they run like a soccer team. Mm. They don't seem to show any sign of fatigue.
Is that, you know, as a coach, when you think about conditioning as a major part, how do you balance conditioning with like technical areas? How much effort do you think it required from the coaching staff to figure out that we're going to double down on conditioning this year?
Well, I think that's something that you work on back in the summer and in October in the preseason, of understanding the kind of condition you've got to be in March and April. And I think that then you have to manage what you're building up to as much as you get into conference play. And then when you need to start tapering so that you get the appropriate rest so that you're ready to come game time. Because you look, Caitlin Clark and Gabby Marshall, they played 40 minutes last night. Kate Martin went 38 and Afalter went 37. They did not look fatigued for 1 second.
Let's talk about Caitlin Clark, Iowa's star. She's the highest scoring Division I basketball player in history for both men and women. We saw just how good she was last night. She, like we both mentioned, accounted for a majority of her team's points. Describe her to me as a player, especially from a coach's perspective. What's it like to be a player in Caitlin's position with so much talent and so much pressure? And how do you think as a coach you support a player like that and help them grow?
The number one thing that a coach needs to see in order to support a player like Caitlin Clark is to see how much work she puts in. And Caitlin Clark is a tireless and I think perfectionist, is really honing her craft, working on her game. She's, you know, constantly trying to get better. And you've seen that over the 4 years of her career. And in talking to Lisa Bluter, I said, how do you get comfortable with a player coming across half court and pulling the trigger? And she said she could not say that she was comfortable with that at first in her freshman season. But when she saw how accurate Caitlin was, then as her career moved on, she had to let her go. And, you know, that doesn't just happen. You have to see the work that players put in. And I think that has developed a lot of confidence that Lisa Bluter has in Caitlin Clark, and the confidence she has with the ball in her hand. Her passing, Caitlin Clark's passing this year has been tremendous as well.
I also hear you refer to this idea of trust, I guess, between both player and coach, you know, whether it's taking it from far out or from understanding how you fit into the team. Just want to put a point on that. It sounds like trust is a really big part of making that work.
It is huge. You know, trust has to be that when you give the license as a coach to a player like Caitlin Clark of, I'm going to let you make some decisions. I'm going to let you run the team because as a coach, I can't be on the floor. And when you put the ball in the hands of a player that you trust, that you know is understanding what you want to happen on the floor and is willing to carry that out on the floor, that's huge in the success of how your program is going to continue.
We're talking to Carolyn Peck, the Hall of Fame coach and ESPN analyst and commentator. She's been covering this year's women's NCAA tournament. And listeners, we're recapping the weekend's action and previewing the Final Four, which is taking place this Friday night on ESPN. We would love your calls. If you've been watching this year's NCAA women's basketball tournament, what have been your impressions? Any favorite moments or surprises? Do you have a team you're rooting for or a favorite player? Give us a call. We're at 212-433-WNYC. It's 212-433-9692. You can also text us at that number. If you have a question for Carolyn Peck, give us a call as well. 212-433-WNYC. All right, let's talk about UConn and USC. It's the other game that was on a lot of people's minds. It was very intense. Paige Beckers led UConn to an upset win over the University of Southern California Trojans. They were led by freshman phenom Juju Watkins. Carolyn, what did you make of last night's game?
That Paige Beckers is a warrior. She wasn't going to allow her team to lose. She and Aaliyah Edwards, Nika Mule, these are players that have been there before. They understand what it takes. And I think that experience has helped Connecticut to advance on to the Final Four. You know, they have had a depleted roster because of all of the injuries that they've had. But I think that their experience is really what won out over USC. They followed the scouting report to the T. Now, you're not going to stop Juju Watkins, and she is a phenomenal player. But they wanted to send her to the left side of the floor because if she's going right, she is really unstoppable. And then the rotations defensively for Connecticut were what allowed them to get the stops and go on the runs that they did, especially in that fourth quarter.
There is this other element of, like, you know, historical significance that I got from the game, because historically UConn has a reputation of being the best. Their coach Gino Auriemma has won 11 championships. Their last one was in 2016. And the team this year had lost five players to season-ending injuries. And this team was maybe counted out more so than in years past. As a coach, how do you navigate an unexpected and intense turbulence like that? What do you think carried them through in tight moments of the game?
I think it starts first with Gino and constantly demonstrating the confidence that he had in his players that were still able to play instead of, woe is me, we don't have this or that, but what do we have and what are we able to do with that? And again, going back to the experience of a Paige Beckers, Aaliyah Edwards, and Anika Mule, you can pull from that, and how first Gino, then his veteran players carry themselves, then helps the younger players to maintain the belief of what they're able to do. And that constant motivation and determination, I think, is what has helped them all season long to be able to still focus on what the major goal is, and that's to get to a Final Four and play for a national championship, and that's what's carried them through.
Mm. We're talking to Carolyn Peck, the Hall of Fame coach and ESPN analyst and commentator. We're talking about the women's NCAA tournament going on right now. Callers, give us a call, give us a shout, 212-433-WNYC. And we have a caller, Louise from Ocean County, New Jersey. Hi, Louise. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. Exciting conversation. I just want to say congratulations to Coach Peck for, you know, always bringing it live, bringing it, you know, it's just like I'm way out here, but I still feel, you know, the game, it's so exciting. And I really wanted to know, where does Coach Peck see the future? You know, where are the women's basketball college? Where are we going after that? You know, are we still, you know, trying to break the glass ceiling with, you know, going forward to the WNBA, MSG? Like, I know we've come a long way. We're on a couple of channels, but, you know, where does she see the future, and why, you know, what can we do to go forward? I'll take my questions offline. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, Louise, thank you so much for calling. Carolyn, what do you make of that? What does the future look like?
Well, it cut off and I didn't hear the question. Can you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So Louise was just asking, what does the future of college ball and the WNBA look like to you?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that the future is, it's enormous. I'm excited about it. When you look at the WNBA came into existence in 1997, and the young girls that are playing in college now got to grow up watching this. And you can tell that they have now taken what they've been able to see from those players and work on their games at a younger age to be able to perform at the level that they are now. When you look at just this freshman class that came in this year with Hannah Hidalgo, Juju Watkins, Malaysia Fulwiley, Madison Booker. I mean, I could go on and on with this freshman class. And they didn't come in and have to develop, though they will develop, but develop enough to be able to contribute. They were ready to contribute from day one. Well, that's carried over when you look at the talent that is in the WNBA now. You know, Aaliyah Boston went in just this past season, Sabrina Ionescu, you know, a year before that. Like, that is where the talent continues to grow, and it's made it so spectacular to watch, where when you go on the business side of it, there are networks and channels and stations that want to cover women's basketball. It is the sport to be had, where before, back in the day and back when I played, it was the question of why can we not see women's basketball on TV? And now people are getting that request answered. Now, across the board, whether it's streaming, whether it's on network, whether it's linear, women's basketball, when it's on, people are paying attention.
Yeah, Coach Peck, you know, I'm thinking about how you've been around the game for a while as a coach and an analyst. And like you said, it's reaching this fever pitch that so many people have been waiting for so long. And I'm wondering for you emotionally, what's it been like to cover this tournament and see these players become such stars, drawing so many viewers and attention?
During this tournament and being really during this season, being in arenas where there are sold out crowds, when I pull up and I get there 2 hours plus before a game and there are lines outside for people waiting to get in. And then the atmosphere of once you are inside, I do have flashbacks of back when I was a young girl before college and really, you know, people were not going to watch women's basketball to when I was in college. And there were a few, and it grew to when I coached at Purdue and we were averaging about 12,000 people to now people are waiting in line, not just for big rivalries, not for just special matchups, but for women's basketball, period. It is. It warms my heart. I get so excited about it because finally people have the respect and yearn for the entertainment of women's basketball.
And I want to call out pertinent to that, what you were just talking about with entertainment and respect all combined. We got a tweet on X. It reads, "Watched it like it was the Super Bowl, ordered pizza and wings and watched every minute and commercial, felt like Magic versus Bird." So you can hear in that message, the both of what you're talking about, the respect and the entertainment and the exhilaration folks are feeling from it, which is great to see. Let's talk about South Carolina. So Caitlin Clark has gotten the attention, but the juggernaut that is South Carolina continues, led by coach Dawn Staley. And for the second straight season, the team is undefeated headed into the Final Four. They're 36-0 this season. What makes this South Carolina team so special?
Well, I think that not only has Dawn assembled a great cast of talent, she has a lot of it. And with the depth, I mean, she could play 9-10 players deep, and depending on the opponents that they play, South Carolina has demonstrated that they can win in different ways. Yeah, they can play the inside out, getting the ball into the paint and using Camilla Cardoso, Ashlyn Watkins, Chloe Kitts. Or if teams want to take away the paint, then they have the ability to shoot the three, having transferred Tahina Pau-Pau. Adding her to the mix and running the point has definitely helped. But they have Raven Johnson and Bree Hall that can shoot it as well. But when Dawn needs to sub, they don't lose anything. Mm. You know, you got Tessa Johnson, who is a freshman leading scorer in their last game against Oregon State. And if she comes in, she can stretch the defense. She now has established herself as one of the better defenders in the country and taking on those tough assignments. Malaysia Fulwiley is just an instant bucket when she comes in. The energy that they play with, the competitiveness, and the ability of South Carolina to defend and rebound makes them, I think that's what gives them the edge, is being the favorite to win the championship.
Yeah, it sounds like Coach Staley is doing a lot of great work in, like, you know, not necessarily the easiest of circumstances, losing all five starters from last year's Final Four team. It's a lot to handle. So we've got Maxine from Brooklyn, another caller. Hi, Maxine. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. So I'm calling because I've been watching UConn basketball since 1990 when I rented a house in the very northernmost part of Long Island, and the woman had no cable, and the only stations I could get were Connecticut stations, and I started watching UConn. And I've been watching them ever since.
Wonderful.
No matter what it's been like.
Maxine, thank you so much. And we also have a text that says, Caitlin Clark has made me a big fan of women's college ball. I grew up following the college career of Pete Maravich, and it has been incredible to see Caitlin Clark surpass his all-time collegiate scoring record. I've always followed men's collegiate ball, but not the women's. However, that has now changed. Coach, let's get into NC State a little bit. They'll have to go through Final Four opponent South Carolina. And here we've got a 3 seed who upset number 1 seed in Texas in the league. Elite Eight, and both the men's and women's NC State teams have made the Final Four. Huge year for NC State. How has this NC State team gotten itself together to make a run so far?
I think that NC State had extra motivation to start the season, even though they lost 5 players, they lost 4 of their top scorers. When the AP poll came out, they were not ranked. And I think that they have kept that chip on their shoulder all season long. You know, they throughout the season have beaten, I think it was, had 4 wins over teams that were in the Sweet 16 with defeating Connecticut. They beat Duke twice. They knocked off Stanford. So this is a team that Wes Moore has done a tremendous job of kind of restructuring and turning the reins over to a new crop that's been ready to handle it. We got improvement from Saniya Rivers, Isaiah James. They've got a freshman in Zoe Brooks, Madison Hayes, a tremendous defender for NC State. You got Mimi Collins and River Baldwin inside. And what NC State does is they follow textbook scouting reports. So if they know that they've got to slow the tempo down, they do that. If they know they've got to spread the floor and pull the defense out of the paint so that they can attack and get to the rim or get to the free throw line, they can do that. And Isaiah James has been on fire in her first four games of this NCAA tournament. I think over 20 points a game, leading scorer for NC State. And she had seven threes in her last game against Texas, five in the first half.
Wow. It's making me think back to 1999, Coach, when you were able to take your team to the promised land, winning as head coach of Purdue. From your experience coaching a team all the way through this process, as a team enters the Final Four, what kind of message are you sending to your locker room to keep them fired up without letting the occasion get to them?
Well, the biggest thing, and I think all four of these coaches now that are in the Final Four understand, you got to take it one game at a time. You're on a business trip when you go to Cleveland, though you want them to enjoy and understand and appreciate where they are. But when you get between the lines, your focus has to be, you know, not about all the pomp and circumstance that's around the outside, all the swag that you may get. It's about cutting down nets, and that's ultimately what you're there for. And you don't get to do that if you don't get past this first day. So you take it not only one game at a time, one possession at a time, and be where your feet are.
What is it? Do you rely on your own experience as a player when you're talking to your team about this? Do you rely on the team culture? Like, how do you navigate those conversations? Do they tend to be the same, or does it really matter team by team, collection of personalities in the room?
Well, I think it's team by team because each coach knows the temperature of their team. But these conversations don't start just because you won in the Elite Eight and you're going to the Final Four. These conversations had to be ones that were you were having back in October, September, November, and have to maintain being consistent. Sometimes I have seen where coaches will change when they get to the Final Four because of the pressure, but the coaches that maintain the same conversation, the same motivation that they used in November and have carried that through and carry that through once they get to the Final Four, those are the teams whose players are able to stay composed when their opponents make a run or if a shot doesn't fall. They know what they can go back to or rely on, get themselves back on track to continue to go after that championship.
And it sounds like trust is in the undercurrent of what you're saying. They're building up that trust from the start so you know each other and you're able to make that difference when the time comes. Looking forward to Sunday's championship, got to ask, who do you think is going to end up as the winner? Do you have any gut feelings there?
We are going to be in for three great games, the two semifinal games and the finals. And when I look at each matchup, I can find pros and cons of how each team could win. If this happens, that happens. But when you look at the numbers, I think you've got to go with South Carolina winning over NC State just because they have the size and they've got the depth to advance to the finals. And on the other side, this Connecticut Iowa game,
it's a toss-up for me. Yeah, we'll have to leave it there. So I was talking to Coach Carolyn Peck. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Selling smoothies is what I do. But for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too. So he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.